90.9 WBUR. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
We're all hardy New Englanders, but it's pretty important for everybody to pay attention and be prepared for the impacts of this storm.
High winds bring blizzard conditions and as much as a foot and a half of snow in some parts of the state, making travel slow and dangerous.
This is a serious winter storm. If you don't need to be traveling, the safest thing to do today is to stay home.
We'll have the latest on the season's first major storm. Also today, the Trump administration reverses an Obama-era policy and gives federal prosecutors more authority to enforce federal marijuana laws. We'll get reaction from pro-legalization forces in Massachusetts. Plus, what to binge watch during the storm.
So I'll talk about this like civilized folks.
Sure, come on in.
I suggest we all first lower our weapons.
Oh. Wowza. That's all coming up next on Radio Boston.
Thanks for listening to the Radio Boston podcast. If you'd like to support WBUR, go to radioboston.org and click the pledge button in the upper right-hand corner. Okay, back to the show.
Giving us an update on the season's first major winter storm, which is pounding Massachusetts and the rest of the state today, including the city of Boston, where the snow is piling up as much as 18 inches expected in some communities with blizzard-like conditions. The mayor said if you're on the roads and don't absolutely need to be on the roads, get off of them so that the plows can do their work. He said that Boston Fire, Police, and EMT are working with extra staff across the city. The city's made an extra effort, he said, to get the homeless off the streets and into shelters. And he quoted numbers from the National Weather Service, 12 to 18 inches of snow. It's expected to taper off by about 9 p.m. tonight. Boston public schools will be closed tomorrow. And when that snow finally stops falling, sometime tonight, around 9 o'clock, we think we'll be hit by another dose of cold Arctic air throughout the weekend. The mayor also said that Logan Airport is open, but lots of flights are canceled. So check with your airlines before you head out to Logan Airport if you have travel plans. We're going to be spending this hour with checking in with our reporters out in the field, as well as with some state and local officials, talking about this first big winter storm. Winter is here in a big way. And let's begin with WBUR meteorologist David Epstein, who joins us via Skype. David, good to have you.
Oh, thanks.
So give us a quick update on what you're seeing. I guess, where is the snow piling up the most?
Yeah, so all across eastern Massachusetts, we have those heavy snow amounts, and it looks like it's going to continue, Anthony, through the afternoon, as you mentioned, and into the evening. I think once we get to about 7 or 8 o'clock, we'll start to see, it's not going to completely stop at that point, but we'll start to see the snowfall rates really come down and there won't be much more accumulation. So I'd say right now, Boston area, another 3 to 5 inches completely total before it all comes to an end. So, for example, I just did my first pass at the driveway, had about 10 inches out here in Metro West, and I just want to not wait until it's entirely done. At some point, the snowblower just can't get that much snow. So
right. So if you get home to work, if you get home to work about 5 o'clock or so, maybe it'd be a good idea to do that first pass and then plan to head out again a little bit later.
Yeah, exactly. You did ask for some of the higher amounts. Weymouth has 13 inches, Randolph about 10. I'll just give you some numbers.
Sure.
Tewksbury's around 11 right now. We've got 11 out Natick, Framingham area. So it gives you an idea. Down in Providence, also Little Compton, almost 13 inches. So generally 10 to 15 inches is what I think we're going to end up with. There will be some places that get that foot and a half, but those will be the exception, not the rule.
Give us a sense of what's happening on the coast. We're hearing and reading and seeing on the television reports of some pretty severe flooding in some coastal areas, right?
Right. And so I'd say the surprise of this storm isn't the snow. I think that, you know, this is basically what we expected, around a foot, give or take a couple of inches. But the tides were supposed to be sort of a minor to moderate coastal flooding. I don't know anyone that expected the tide gauge in Boston Harbor to reach a level. Now, we don't know whether it's official or not, that is at the level of the Blizzard of 78. So even if it doesn't break that record, it's within a few tenths of an inch of that record. So pretty amazing that we had that kind of flooding. As the mayor mentioned, we're not going to see the same sort of flooding at the time of high tide around midnight tonight because the storm will be moving out. And unlike the Blizzard of 78, where we saw successive damaging high tides, this afternoon's was really the only one that's going to cause problems.
And David, we heard the mayor talking about the cold snap that will roll into the region. Saturday? Give us some details about that, about the cold weather, how long it's going to be sticking around.
Right. That's the other reason to kind of shovel this afternoon and evening, if you can do it, because temperatures are in the 20s. They actually, tomorrow morning, will be in the upper single digits to mid-teens, which is cold, but it's not as cold as it's going to get. Temperatures during the day tomorrow will actually fall even further. By the end of the day, by this time tomorrow evening, I expect temperatures to be in the mid to upper single digits. And then as we head for Friday night into Saturday morning, we'll be below zero. Saturday is the core of the cold in terms of daily highs. The high on Saturday probably not breaking 7 or 8 degrees in Boston. And then Saturday night and Sunday morning, very cold, anywhere from 10 to as much as 15 below up around the New Hampshire border. Boston probably 5 or 6 below, a new record likely on Sunday morning. Sunday gets into the mid-teens. Monday, lower 30s. So we will actually have a tiny bit of melting. There's another storm system for Monday night and Tuesday. That one is looks like a mix of rain, snow, sleet, kind of a lot of messy stuff, but not a big storm.
All right. That's WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein giving us an update on the first major winter storm of the season. David, thanks so much. We'll check in with you later. We appreciate
your time. You're welcome.
All right, listeners, we're going to be spending a lot of this hour hearing from folks around the state about this storm. We want to hear from you how you're spending this snowy day. Are you home with the kids? Are you waxing your skis? Do you have heat? Do you have power? Are you staying warm? Tell us what you're seeing outside your window and how this storm is affecting you. We are gathering around the radio on this winter day and swapping storm stories. So give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we're going to check in now with a couple of our reporters on the ground, beginning with Shannon Dooling, who's in Newbury up in the North Shore. Hey, Shannon.
Hi, Anthony.
Give us a sense of where you are and what you're seeing.
Sure. So I was just listening to David Epstein suggest getting out and shoveling right now, which seems absurd to me given what I'm seeing right now, which is just really, really windy conditions, windswept roads. We are basically hunkered down for now in the car right near the access road to Plum Island. We're unable to get out to the island because Newbury PD have physically blocked access to that with a couple of trucks. They're telling us that we simply can't physically, our vehicle won't make it.
And this is because of the flooding, Shannon. Is that right?
That's because of the flooding. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So again, what David Epstein was mentioning, flooding being sort of a surprise issue with this storm. I'm definitely seeing it up here in the Newbury Plum Island area, at least. They're hoping to open up the access to Plum Island within an hour or so, just sort of waiting for the high tide waters to recede up here.
And are you hearing reports of power outages? How are people dealing with that?
Well, you know, we haven't really been seeing many power or utility trucks on the road, now that you mention it. But in Rockport, we were, spending some time on Cape Ann earlier today, and we did come across a bit of a scene in Rockport Harbor earlier where the high tide again sort of caught people a little bit off guard, I think, and some of the businesses that are right there near Rockport Harbor, near T Wharf, were basically smelling some odors, some scents. And they gave PD, the Rockport PD and firefighters, a call, and they responded. And basically what was happening was in two particular buildings, some of those high tide waters were flooding the basement of two particular buildings, and their water heaters were underwater. These are electrical water heaters. And a fire lieutenant up there in Rockport told us that basically what they had to do was shut the breaker to both of those different buildings and just kind of wait until those high tide waters receded so that they could access the basements of those buildings.
All right. That's WBUR reporter Shannon Dooling reporting for us from Newbury, talking about among the challenges folks are experiencing up there is some pretty serious flooding along coastal areas. Shannon, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Let's move on to WBUR's Bruce Gellerman. He's in Mansfield. And Bruce, I gather you're seeing some pretty treacherous roads out there.
Actually, Marshfield. It is.
Marshfield, excuse me. Marshfield,
it
yeah.
Is, I have snow plows, some utility trucks, and me. I'm kind of here in a parking lot and wondering what to do. The wind is really gusty. The traffic lights are on the streets are swinging in the wind. And the evergreens that I'm looking at here are weighted down with very heavy snow. And I just came up for Route 3, and I was just about alone on the highway. I came up from Sandwich, and they had blocked off, the police had already blocked off 6A because of the flooding there. It's slow going here.
And Bruce, give us a sense of what you're seeing coming down. Is it rain down there on the coast and the South Shore, or is it snow?
It goes back and forth, Anthony. It's really weird. I mean, right now it's snowing. It was raining a few minutes ago, so you've got this mushy mix, very heavy snow. I mean, I'm looking at the trees just drooping in front of me. So it's going to be a mess to clean up if this stuff freezes.
Now, I understand that you spoke to an oceanographic official with the U.S. Coast Guard. Give us a sense of what he had to say.
He was with the USGS and the Geological Survey out of Woods Hole.
Got it.
An oceanographer. Really interesting guy. He was watching. We were in this parking lot in Town Neck Beach, which was rapidly filling with water. I couldn't believe it. It was as if somebody opened up a tap. I've never seen the tide come in. I've never seen a flood like that so fast. It was a matter of seconds, actually. And he said, "You better get out of here. Because otherwise you're not going to get out of here. I should have had a boat. I was the only one in the lot." But he was saying he was there to watch the storm. He's been studying this area where they had built a berm along the beach for 100,000 cubic feet of sand 2 years ago. And he said this storm could breach that in a day or two, probably 2 days. They're going to send drones out because they've lost their buoys there. They couldn't keep their buoys monitoring the situation. They're going to be flying drones there to see what the damage is.
And Bruce, what are you hearing from the local police and fire departments and other officials down there on the South Shore?
Well, they looked at me incredulously when I came out of the parking lot in Sandwich. I got news for you. They weren't happy with me, and they weren't talking to me. I was the only one coming out. I haven't had a chance. They've been really busy.
Right. And I guess the message there, it's a reminder to everybody who might be listening, that if you don't have to be on the road, stay off the roads because they can be dangerous. There are also a lot of plows out there trying to do the work.
Yeah, I was behind the conga line of plows on Route 3, and it was slow going.
Well, that's WBR reporter Bruce Gellerman reporting from Marshfield down in the South Shore. Bruce, we'll check in with you later this hour. Thanks for the work. Thanks for being out there. Stay safe, stay warm, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Anthony.
So we're asking you, listeners, to give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. Be our eyes and ears out there. Tell us what you're observing. Let's go to Jonah, who's in Jamaica Plain. Hi, Jonah. How are you passing this day?
Hi, Anthony. It is terrible out there, completely terrible.
Well, give us a sense. What are you seeing when you look out the window?
So it looks like it's starting to let up just a little bit, though. I went out like probably 2.5 hours to go to shovel, and I couldn't make a dent.
You couldn't make a dent. All right. So you're going to have to go out there a little bit later. The snow might be a little higher,
yeah,
Jonah, but I guess
definitely
it'll be a little bit more hospitable for you.
Yeah, I'd say we have at least 10 inches, 10,
all right,
10 to 12.
Well, there's Jonah in Jamaica Plain reporting 10 to 12 inches of snow. Jonah, stay warm. Thanks a lot for talking to us. Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, what a change. We're going to talk about a couple of other stories today, including a change to federal marijuana policy and what it might mean for legalization here in Massachusetts. We'll also have more coverage of the storm. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The season's first major winter storm is pounding Boston and Massachusetts. The snow is piling up as much as 18 inches expected in some communities with blizzard-like conditions. We've been hearing reports of power outages, of severe flooding in some coastal areas, of hurricane-strength winds on Cape Cod and the islands. And when the snow stops falling sometime tonight, we're going to be hit by another dose of cold Arctic air over the weekend. So winter is here in a big way, and we're going to be following this news throughout this hour. But I want to move on to another bit of news, and that is involves marijuana policy. The Trump administration has ended an Obama-era policy that could have a big impact on states like Massachusetts that have legalized marijuana. Under federal law, pot is still illegal, but former President Obama discouraged federal prosecutors from enforcing the law in states that have legalized the drug. Now Attorney General Jeff Sessions is reversing that, freeing federal prosecutors to enforce the federal law more aggressively. But the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission says nothing has changed and will continue its work towards a legal marijuana market in the state. Joining me now is Jim Borgasani. He's spokesman for the Marijuana Policy Project, and he was the communications director for the Yes on 4 campaign, which legalized pot in the state last year. Jim Borgasani, good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you for having me on.
So, in your view, what does Attorney General Sessions' order mean for states that have legalized marijuana, like Massachusetts?
Well, it means that the U.S. attorneys in those states are no longer restrained by the Department of Justice in enforcing federal law. As you mentioned at the top of the segment, the Cole Memorandum provided guidance to U.S. attorneys in states that had legal cannabis, and it essentially told them not to move forward with any prosecutions as long as the state had a strong system of regulations in place that prevented diversion to younger users or the black market. And, you know, almost uniformly, there were no prosecutions of any legal businesses selling cannabis products.
We should note that Governor Charlie Baker and Attorney General Maura Healey have both come out against the decision by Attorney General Sessions, saying that they would continue to support the work of the Cannabis Control Commission. Does that give you confidence that this decision will not delay the opening of legal marijuana dispensaries in Massachusetts?
It does, and I commend the governor and the attorney general for taking that stance. Clearly, they are recognizing and respecting the will of voters as expressed in November 2016. Clearly, Jeff Sessions is not. And the ironic thing is that during the campaign, the presidential campaign, Donald Trump was on record stating that he would leave these decisions to states. The Cole Memorandum being rescinded today by Jeff Sessions contradicts the position that candidate Trump had taken during the campaign. So
you mentioned the Cole Memorandum. I just want to, for listeners who don't know, that was the memorandum that came out under the Obama administration, essentially directing federal prosecutors not to make prosecution a priority, right?
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. And it provided, you know, because we were in this sort of odd area where there was something that was illegal at the state level and illegal at the federal level. And the Department of Justice under the Obama administration decided they had to give some guidance to U.S. attorneys in those legal states. And they did so. And I should add, you mentioned the governor and the attorney general. One other positive bit of news is that the U.S. attorney in Colorado has stated that he will not move forward with prosecutions, even though the Cole Memorandum has been rescinded. So that might be a model that the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts could follow, and I hope that he does.
What about the cloud sort of hanging over potential investors in this new and sort of burgeoning marijuana market? I mean, what kind of concerns do you have for them? I mean, doesn't this order from Sessions in a way have a chilling effect on this?
It certainly could, and I'm very worried about that, as are many people in the industry. Access to banking from entrepreneurs in the industry is difficult, so they depend on private equity, private investors. Private investors might look at this rule by Attorney General Sessions and say that, you know, this investment now is too risky. We don't want to risk jeopardizing our funds by financing an entrepreneur in Massachusetts or any other legal state. That is certainly a concern. And it just throws a lot of uncertainty onto these emerging markets.
All right. Well, that's Jim Borgazzani. He's the Massachusetts spokesman for the Marijuana Policy Project and was the communications director for the Yes on 4 campaign during the 2016 election. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
And listeners, we're spending a lot of this hour tracking the big blizzard, the big first sort of winter storm of the season. What are you seeing out there? What's your experience? Give us a call. Tell us if you're warm. Tell us if you're safe. Let us know what you're seeing. But at 1-800-423-8255, that's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's go to James, who's calling from Newton. Hey, James, what are you seeing out there?
Hi, Anthony. I'm a mailman, and I was working this morning.
On foot. On foot, James?
Yeah, on foot. Yeah, I have a foot route in Newton. And the irony is that my route is the furthest away from the station, so I had the longest way to go.
Oh, boy.
I had the longest way to come back when they called us out back because there was too much snow. And now the irony is I can't park in my home because they haven't plowed my street, so I'm circling Newton, and it's bad out here.
I understand. So your streets still aren't plowed. That there's something wrong about that. A man who has to walk in this stuff during the day and then can't find a parking place when he gets home. But I guess Newton is going to get those streets plowed sooner.
Well, I mean,
than
I
later.
See the plows out here, and they're working very diligently. They're just not in my street.
Well, what's the motto?
Plowed.
Well, James, thanks for the work you do. What's the motto of the U.S. Postal Service? You're not going to be slowed down.
Snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night shall stay these careers from the swift completion of their appointed route.
Thank you for that. It's a great thought. Okay, James, thanks for the work you do and stay safe.
Sure.
All right. One more call. Let's go to Joan from Cambridge. Joan, you're on the air. What are you seeing out there?
Well, I have to say that I headed out about noon in search of a cozy cafe, and everything was closed. But what I saw were phalanxes of snow plows, three at a time, pounding up and down Mass Ave and some of the smaller streets, actually. And it just reminded me of the importance of living in a well-functioning city, especially, you know, in an emergency. So now I'm at home, cozy, and making a cup of tea.
Well, Joan, that sounds like a good place to be. Thanks so much for calling in and giving us that report. We appreciate it. Listeners, we want to hear what you're experiencing today with this first winter storm. Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. And let's turn now to Christopher Bessie from the Massachusetts Emergency Management for an update on the storm. Mr. Bessie, good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So we're hearing about lots of reports of flooding in coastal areas. Is that the biggest concern you have right now?
You know, there's really a couple different impacts we're watching. You know, within the last couple hours, the coastal flooding, which was had a sort of a midday high tide into early afternoon, really picked up and brought some really significant flooding to many coastal areas, all the way up from sort of the northeast part of the state up in Newburyport through Boston, all the way down even to the Cape Cod Bay area. So we're working right now with communities across the state and trying to figure out, you know, even though we have reports of flooding, trying to assess what that means and, you know, what assistance may be needed. At this point, while there's lots of reports of flooded roads, we don't have any injuries or deaths or any sort of serious issues reported to us, although certainly significant flooding, and we'll do more of a damage assessment as those waters recede.
What about power outages? What are we hearing? When are we expecting to have power back for those who have lost power?
So that's sort of the second piece of the storm that we're keeping a close eye on is the power outages. So right now, as of about 3:30, is about 22,000 customers across the state without power. And those are, again, mostly in eastern Massachusetts, particularly southeastern Massachusetts. And that number has jumped up in the last hour or so, you know, at least by a couple thousand. So the other issue is that the winds are still going on and pretty gusty right now. So not only are we at 22,000 now, but that number may increase as the night goes on and the winds increase as well. And that's even before the restoration efforts really get to begin because the crews can't get out there until those winds die down.
Now, of course, the message that lots of folks are hearing is to stay off the roads, don't crowd the plow. But for those who had to go to work and have to be on the roads, what kind of conditions are they going to be facing as they drive home?
So we've got, you know, reports in from MassDOT, who we work closely with, or we have a representative here at the State Emergency Operations Center. Generally, the roads are snow-covered, but there are a lot of plows out there. The last update I saw, they had over 3,000 pieces of equipment out just from the state perspective, as well as obviously cities and towns have their own equipment and contracted equipment. So the crews are out there definitely trying to keep up, but with snowfall rates, you know, at 2 inches an hour sometimes, it can be difficult to keep up. So like you said, obviously if people can stay off the road, that's the best advice. But if they do have to go out there, you know, take it slow, give themselves extra time, and give the plows some room to work.
And finally, Christopher Bessie, with this reports of this very cold weather moving in over the weekend, what are you most concerned about? What should folks be aware of in terms of this cold?
So, you know, the biggest potential risk with the cold weather coming is for those who are without power. You know, like I said, we have about 22,000 people without power, and the power is probably not going to be restored this evening given the way the winds are. So people that are without power should be prepared to be without power for some period of time. So we really encourage people, if they're without power, to think about a safe, warm place they can go. With these temperatures that we're going to see tomorrow, the temperatures are going to be colder than we've seen any other time this year, really too cold to ride it out at home. So encouraging people to have a plan and a place of where they can go, whether that be a friend or family member's house, or contact their local public safety officials to find a shelter near them.
All right. Christopher Bessie is a spokesman for the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency. Christopher Bessie, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck. Thanks.
Thank you. Stay safe.
All right. You too. Well, we're asking you, listeners, to tell us what you're seeing, experiencing out there by calling us at 1-800-423-8255. Let's take a call from Holly, who's in Cambridge. Hey, Holly.
Hey, I'm just watching the snow in almost whiteout conditions right outside my window. It's piling up like crazy. But what I'm really worried about are the homeless. I volunteer at a homeless shelter, and we feed anywhere from 60 to over 200 people every Friday afternoon. It's called the Friday Cafe, and I'm hoping we get to open tomorrow, because I know that there are a lot of homeless people who are desperately looking for safe places to be.
Well,
and
Holly, I'm glad you...
on my mind today.
Yeah, well, it's a good concern to have. We heard Mayor Walsh talking about an extra effort made by the city of Boston to get some of the homeless people, to get as many homeless off the street as possible and into shelters. And the mayor urged folks that if you see people who look like they need some help, try to help them, try to get them into a shelter, or take them into a cafe and buy them a cup of coffee or whatever it is. Holly, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me give my 2 cents.
All right. Well, good luck and stay warm. Well, it's a snow day for many people across Massachusetts and across New England. Some essential personnel who did have to go to work today, the defending Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Here's the way Coach Bill Belichick, not always the chattiest of guys, what he had to say when asked about conditions out there and whether his players had to come out to Foxborough today.
I don't know. Every day is a work day.
Yeah, I don't know. Every day is a work day. So joining us now is Mike Reese. He's a Patriots reporter for ESPN, and he joins us now from Foxborough. And Mike, I hope you're staying warm, and I understand the Patriots are actually practicing today, right?
That's right, Anthony. Good afternoon. They practiced mid-morning, and usually Bill Belichick always likes to have his team practice outside. And the thinking is, you know, you might have to play a game in any type of elements, but this was a day where even – in these conditions, he said, we better move inside. So they did practice inside. What was entertaining in a way to watch was the long walk that the players had from their locker room to their indoor practice facility. And a lot of these players, Anthony, are from the South that haven't experienced this before. And I watched one of them sort of tiptoeing, you know, along the snow to get to the indoor practice facility. But they are done. They've practiced, and most of the players have since headed home.
I see. And is this something the players were sort of willing to do, show up on in the middle of a blizzard like this, or was there some grumbling about this? Or is that not something that pro football players would do?
Well, so the tone is set by Bill Belichick, and this is not something that's just within the last couple of days. Really, whenever players get here, Belichick says, we are the New England Patriots. And when you play in New England, that means there's going to be all type of weather. And he mentions that to them on a regular basis. I had a couple players say to me yesterday that he said it in an interesting way to them yesterday when he said, don't call me and tell me that it's snowing. I know that it's snowing. Leave extra time. Stay at a hotel if you have to. So he sort of, you know, delivered that message. And here with the Patriots, when Bill Belichick delivers the message, pretty much everyone falls into line, because if they don't, they probably aren't going to be around that much longer.
And Mike, finally, of course, we've heard a lot of talk about this. I mean, getting comfortable in the cold is sort of a Patriots advantage, especially with the playoffs coming up at Foxborough Stadium, right? I mean, this being comfortable in the cold is a little bit of their advantage, right?
Anthony, it's such a great point that you make when you say that, because their record in the cold is outstanding, and this last week was a great example of it. You know, I talked to one player, his name is Brandon King, and he's a core special teams player, so he plays more in the kicking game, and he said, you know, being here today wasn't that big of a deal. Last week when we were practicing in zero, you know, negative 1 degree weather with the wind whipping through, that was actually a lot harder than what we had to do today, and that prepared us for playing in that final regular season game, which was the coldest regular season game in Patriots history. So they feel like they sort of become conditioned to it, and it's important to point out, a lot of these players aren't from this area, but once they get here, as Brandon King told me, he said, you sort of become like you are part of this area.
You become a New England Patriot. Okay, that's Mike Reese, Patriots reporter for ESPN. Mike, thanks so much for getting on the line and staying with us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, we'll check back in with some reporters out in the field. We'll get the latest from meteorologist David Epstein and your calls at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Just in time for the afternoon commute, we've got another update on the snowstorm for you. There are reports of power outages, severe flooding in some coastal areas. Schools and state offices have been closed today except for essential personnel. The MBTA operating on a reduced schedule. Most flights in and out of Logan Airport have been canceled. And when the snow finally stops falling sometime tonight, cold Arctic air moves in, so winter is here in a big way. And for the rest of the day's outlook, let's check back in with WBUR meteorologist David Epstein. David, give us a sense what people can expect as they're trying to get home this afternoon. Of course, the message is stay off the roads, but some people have to be on the roads to get home. What can they expect?
Yeah, it's going to still be snow and blowing snow across the area all afternoon long, so we're at about 4 o'clock at this point. We fast forward to around 7 o'clock, I think we'll start to see snow rates really start to lighten up at that point and go forward a little more in time, getting on toward, say, the 10 o'clock hour. Then we'll start to see all the snow kind of shut down between roughly 10 and 11 o'clock, I think, in Boston, final flakes out of the sky at that point.
David, I want to ask you about the tides coinciding with this storm. There's been flooding in some coastal areas. We're understanding that the tide levels in Boston and elsewhere have been at their highest marks in decades. What impact are we going to see at the next high tide at midnight?
Yeah, that's a good question. The good news is that the high tide we just experienced will be the highest tide. It's not like the next one. We're going to see the same sort of levels of water because the storm's moving away at this point, getting further and further from our latitude. It doesn't mean there can't be some minor coastal flooding, but we won't have anything like we did before. Some of that water that came in during the high tide a couple of hours ago, because of the cold weather, some of that may refreeze, and that could be a problem in, you know, different areas of the city or different areas of towns where the water did come on shore. So it's not going to be as bad for the high tide around midnight tonight, but it will obviously have to be watched a little bit. There'll be some beach erosion and things like that.
All right. And then obviously, as we mentioned before, we're expecting freezing weather tomorrow. Give us a sense of how long that hangs around.
So the high temperature tomorrow will probably be recorded at 1201. Overnight tonight, because what's going to happen is temperatures are going to drop throughout the rest of the overnight hours, and then tomorrow they really don't go anywhere. Temperatures tomorrow night get below zero. Saturday we don't break the 10-degree mark. Even in Boston, it stays around 7, 8, 9 degrees, something like that. Wind chill values, I was looking at some of the wind chill values at some of the ski areas in Vermont. They're going to be 40 to 50 below zero. I suspect that some ski areas may have to just not open up, especially early on Saturday, and even during the day tomorrow, those wind chill values at dangerous levels, and I don't use that word lightly, but when you get to 50 degree below zero wind chills, that's that's real stuff, and that is quite dangerous.
That is quite.
As we get to Sunday, temperatures get back to the teens, and I think this is the end of the severe cold for a while. So we're going to get into a pattern where it's more typical temperatures. So temperatures in the 30s, we'll see a couple of days in the 40s. We'll see storms that have a little more rain, perhaps, and snow. And we're not going to have this deep cold that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. It's really going to relax. We'll have a major January thaw at some point later this month, and that could continue into the early part of next. Just a little preview, and keep a little smile on folks' face that we are going to get out of this.
All right. It's always good to know that we're going to get out of this. WBUR meteorologist David Epstein keeping us up to date. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Well, the season's first big snowstorm is dominating the news today. So we thought we'd spend a little time talking about what to do if you're shut inside for a while. Cold, stormy weather offers a great opportunity to catch up on some of those TV shows you missed. So give yourself permission to do a bit of binge watching. And here to help us with some suggestions is Ty Burr, film critic and cultural columnist at the Boston Globe. Hello, Ty.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm very well, and I appreciate you joining us. So there's so much great content out there, and a lot of us don't always have time to catch up with it. Let's talk about some TV programs that are your favorites that folks ought to catch up with if they haven't had a chance to do that. What's on top of your list?
There's so much out there. I mean, you could start with things that if you haven't seen Stranger Things or if you haven't seen Atlanta from a couple of years ago, that's still out there. There's so many things that you can just, you go ask your friends, what are you watching? That's what everybody says when you have dinner with people. So what are you watching? And everybody talks about their favorite shows. One that I'm watching right now and really enjoying is the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, which is set in the 1950s, and it's about this young woman, very sort of upper-class Jewish New Yorker, Upper East Sider, whose husband leaves her, and she decides she's going to become a stand-up comic in 1950s New York. And she's played by Rachel Brosnahan, who is absolutely fantastic. Imagine a young Joan Rivers, just a sort of motor-mouth humor. Tony Shalhoub plays her father. The cast is just tremendously rich up and down. There's a character who plays Lenny Bruce. She comes up against this young comic named Lenny Bruce in the clubs. The production design, I mean, it feels like early Mad Men. You really feel steeped in the era.
This sounds great. This sounds like a great suggestion. So this is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's on Amazon. I haven't seen it, but Ty, we've got a clip from the first episode of the show where Midge takes the open mic at a comedy club. Let's just listen to a little bit of it.
I was a great wife. I was fun. I planned theme nights. I dressed in costumes. I gave him kids, a boy and a girl. And yes, our little girl is looking more and more like Winston Churchill every day, you know, with a big Yalta head. But that's not a reason to leave, right?
Okay, a scene there from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. All right. What else do you want to tell us about this show? It sounds great.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's also a good time to catch up on things that you might have missed from earlier in the years, like Big Little Lies, which is now getting, you know, all sorts of Golden Globe nominations and being, you know.
So, Ty, I'm glad you brought up Big Little Lies. I really enjoyed this series, but spell it out a little bit for our listeners who might have missed it. What did you like about it?
What I liked about it is that, and it really shows how streaming TV is maturing into, like, sort of the mainstream entertainment of our times. It stars some major movie stars, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Laura Dern, and it's, it would seem to be a soap opera about these upper-class wives in California and their troubles and travails, but it really is incredibly well-written, incredibly well-played, and is really about how these different women who are sort of pitted as enemies gradually come together and start seeing each other's points of views and really sort of standing together in the face of a threat to one of them, but it's the interplay between them over the course of the episodes, and really the incredibly rich playing of people you're not used to seeing in this sort of episodic format, and by which I mean, you know, Reese Witherspoon, who plays this sort of yenta of a character who's kind of annoying and he's kind of a perfectionist, and then the show gradually humanizes her. And it's the same with Nicole Kidman's character. The acting in this is really, really rich. And so by the time you get to the final episode, and again, this is, it's like reading a novel. It's not like it's 24 episodes. It's like 8.
Yeah.
So you can do it in a day or two, you know, or if it's literally, you can do it in a day if it's snowing outside and you just can't move.
I enjoyed this series a lot. It's a bit of a soap opera, but there's also a bit of a murder mystery in the midst of it that keeps you sort of coming back. Whodunit? So here's a clip, and you mentioned three moms, all of them potentially the murderer, you're wondering, in Big Little Lies. So you're going to hear Reese Witherspoon as Madeline, Nicole Kidman as Celeste, and Shailene Woodley as Jane. Here's a clip.
Are you new to Monterey?
Yeah, we just moved here a few weeks ago.
You're going to love it.
You're so nice. This is Monterey. We pound people with knives to death.
We pound them with knives to death. Literally, as it turns out. Anyway, great series. Hey, Ty, I want to ask you about one of my favorites that I've just seen recently, and that is Netflix's Godless. Did you see this?
I have not seen this, but you know, we were talking about it earlier, and you've got my curiosity.
Oh, I really recommend it. So just to explain a little bit to listeners who might not have seen it. So it's sort of a reimagined Western, following the story of Frank Griffin, an outlaw in the 1880s. He's played brilliantly by Jeff Daniel, who does evil really well.
I'm in. I'm already in.
And here's where it sort of bends the genre a little bit, or goes a little bit outside the sort of typical Western. It's about a town full of women that includes some memorable roles by Michelle Dockery, who played Lady Mary in Downton Abbey as a rifle wielding single mom. And Merritt Weaver has a wonderful role, and she was played that nurse and one of the nurses in Nurse Jackie. So here's a clip from the trailer. It gives you a little bit of a sense of what goes on.
So I'll talk about this like civilized folks.
Sure, come on in.
I suggest we all first lower our weapons.
Yeah, well, she didn't lower her weapon. But here's the thing, Ty, to keep in mind about this show. It is beautiful. It is beautifully shot. And see it on a big screen if you can. But anyway, there it is. Godless.
Isn't that funny
on
that
Netflix.
We're having this conversation. It's a great TV show. See it on a big screen.
Well, what I mean is, if you have a 37-inch TV as opposed to your iPad, watch it on the TV screen.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, what else? Are there any sort of great movies, old movies that you're thinking of on a day like this if you're sort of cooped up inside and thinking?
You know, there's so many good old movies, you know, and I'm always encouraging people to go dig up the classics, black and white or Technicolor. One that we were talking about recently that it's just become relevant in the culture again is Gaslight. You know, when people talk about gaslighting, you know, this thing where men convince women of that they're not lying to them, that they're not stepping out, and are so good at convincing them that the women think they're going insane. Well, that phrase comes from a movie. It actually originally started as a play, but the movie, which was made in the early 40s with Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer, or late 30s, I can't remember exactly which, is about this young wife whose husband has I'm not giving anything away because it sets it up right at the get-go, has married her to get at a treasure that's buried in the house that she's inherited. And he basically convinces her that she's going insane so he can get her out of the way. But the way he does that, he's so logical. He's so believable. He's so nice. He's Charles Boyer, for God's sake. And it's Ingrid Bergman at her youngest and loveliest and very believable. It's terrific. And it also has Angela Lansbury in her very first role.
Oh, this is fantastic. You're making
it. As a creepy maid.
I have not seen it. Gaslight. It's on my list to look at next. Ty Burr, film critic and cultural columnist of the Boston Globe. Thanks so much and stay warm.
You too.
All right. So there's Ty Burr with some suggestions. And I'm going to read this from the New York Times by David Dudley. One line. Unless you're a plow driver or a parka-clad elected official trying to look essential, one doesn't pretend to do battle against a blizzard. You submit, surrender, hunker down. A snowstorm rewards indolence and punishes the go-getters. So something to think of today. Let's check in with Shannon Dooling, who's on the North Shore near Salisbury on Plum Island. Shannon, what are you seeing out there?
Hi, Anthony. Well, I do have a parka on, so I hope I fit the bill there. But we are seeing just continued sort of whiteout conditions, really. Lots and lots of wind. We're actually still waiting to access Plum Island. We were told that about an hour ago that we should be able to access it in 15 minutes, and apparently there have been some reconsiderations for safety reasons. So we're just kind of hanging out. Just spoke to a homeowner who lives in Newbury but owns a home on Plum Island, and he said that he hadn't been to his house today. He does own beachfront property, so he's waiting just alongside us, hoping to make it out to the island and check out the situation at his home.
And Shannon, I gather the big, we've been talking about this hour, that flooding is the big concern out there, right?
That's right. Yeah. So when we showed up here, like I said, about an hour ago, around 3 o'clock or so, a little before, we were told by Newbury police that the access road to Plum Island was impassable, really. And the only vehicles that we've really seen come out of that area have been, plow trucks, large trucks with big clearances, basically. And we were told that our vehicle, which is a Subaru Forester right now, wouldn't sort of make the cut there. And so we have been waiting. They're waiting for the tidewater to recede. Again, there was a little bit of miscommunication. We were told that it would be reopening pretty quickly, and that seems to be sort of under consideration still at this point, as we still are queuing up to kind of get out there and see what we can see out on Plum Island.
All right, Shannon. Well, stay safe, and thanks for your reporting. That's Shannon Dooling, WBUR's reporter out there heading out to Plum Island. Let's end the show with WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who's on Route 3 heading towards Scituate on the South Shore. Bruce, what are the conditions like there?
I just pulled into the Greenbush T commuter parking lot, and it's I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get out of here. The conditions are blowing heavy snow, so heavy that the branches are snapping in the road under the weight of the snow. I'm really grateful to the snowplows, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. They've done an incredible job. They should really get a shout-out.
All right. Shout-out to the snowplow drivers. It's tough work. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman ending our coverage today on Radio Boston. I guess the big message, stay off the roads if you can. Stay inside. Do some binge-watching. Stay safe. Stay warm. That's it for today. Radio Boston's a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Stay safe and join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.